Welcome along to the Matchbook Betting Podcast, the show dedicated to bringing you betting insights to help you make smarter and more informed bets. And in one of the biggest betting weeks of the year, hopefully, we'll have lots of informed bets. I'm Emmett Kennedy, alongside Matchbook's big bet expert, Mr. Jesse May.
Hi, Emmett. I am ready to get on it for Goodwood.
In a glorious mood, Jesse. And get on it is not just a turn of phrase. It's also going to be Matchbook's slogan for the week.
It is. It's a huge week for Matchbook, obviously, because we're sponsoring Goodwood. Along with the state of Qatar, and also hopefully for the punters as well.
Tell us about the offers on Matchbook this week.
So, big week tomorrow, which is the first day at Goodwood, we are doing 0% commission on all horse racing all day long. So that's going to be a great start for us. We've also got a new sign-up offer. If anyone out there has not yet signed up to Matchbook, you can now get £500 commission-free. So 0% commission for your first 500 pounds of comms as a new customer for the first 5 weeks or so. It's 10 times what our original sign-up offer was. So if you are going to have some big punts and you are a new customer, you're basically going to be getting 0% comms until you scream, really until you hold your hands up and surrender.
And that is music to one of our experts' ears, a man who is just back from the WSOP in Las Vegas. From the betting emporium, Mr. Neil Channing.
Well, I've already got an account, so that's not going to help me very much, but it sounds excellent if you haven't got it.
That's never stopped you before.
No, it sounds great. Are we allowed to call this week glorious anymore, or do you get,
We're supposed to call it the Qatar Goodwood Festival, aren't we?
I don't know. Let's just call it Goodwood, shall we?
It is a glorious week, though.
Goodwood Festival. That's better. There we are.
We're also joined by betting expert Stephen Harris.
Morning, chaps.
And by Matchbook's brand ambassador, Hayley Turner.
Hello.
Hayley, you are rivaling Brett Favre for retirements and then coming out of retirements. Are you going to come back to the saddle again soon?
No. Maybe at Goodwood as well. You might get might get one thrown my way if it's a light ride.
I actually saw you in the saddle at Goodwood, Hayley. You did this virtual reality ride on the course. It was quite good. I think it's up on Matchbook Insights.
Yeah, Goodwood is a place to visit. Everybody raves about it. But as a jockey, it's an absolute nightmare to ride. It's like the capital of hard luck stories, and your draw is very important. And there's lots to go into it.
It's such an undulating track as well. If you're not drawn well, or if you lose position early on, it can be a nightmare. Like somebody like Richard Hughes, he really thrived at that track. He just worked out exactly how to time it and how to perform there. But it's not an easy track at all. Like what is it that makes it such a nightmare for jockeys?
Well, it's depending on the distance, but you have to switch over from the left side of the track to the right, and then you go around a bend, and you switch back over, and then you're going up a hill, and then you come down a hill, and the camera's is going one way, and it's just, you need to get a horse settled, and you need to know the track really well to know where to get your horse relaxed and breathing, and where not to make the move. Like a lot of mistakes the jockeys would make, particularly the apprentices, is that they'll try and make a manoeuvre going up a hill, which is just, you know, it just burns the horses out. And it's one of the tracks you want to follow the leading jockeys at. So keep an eye on that, definitely.
So Ryan Moore, a man who could be thriving this week then. Let's talk about some of the big races, so, for the week at Goodwood. We will start by talking about day one and the Lennox Stakes, which should be a fascinating race. Lamato is going to line up here over arguably a trip that suits him best, although he's a July Cup winner. Spirit of Valor, a very interesting runner for Aidan O'Brien now that he's found form. A cracking run at Royal Ascot behind Labravido, who I think is a horse that we can mark up for that performance. And then a winner last time as well. Son of Warfront seems to have found his form. They're not the only ones. Labrisa Breeze, Jungle Cat, Home of the Brave, Dutch Connection, Stephen Harris. This is a cracking race.
Yeah, I think it's a really interesting race to start the week off. The first thing to talk about, Emmett, is the weather, your favourite subject. I think the forecast is fantastic for Goodwood on Tuesday. It looks like being 20 degrees and sunny. So I've sort of worked on the assumption it's going to dry out a bit and be nearer to good ground, although the going stick is quite testing and you're never quite sure what you're going to get at this meeting. From Wednesday onwards, the forecast looks diabolical. So things could completely change on Wednesday. So it is a bit of a minefield for punters. This is a fascinating race. I didn't particularly fancy either the front two in the market. Limato, I think, has turned into... I don't think he's quite the force of old. And although he ran a lot better last time out, and Henry Candy's horses are running well again now, I think he's opposable about 3-1. And the other one that's been well-backed since the markets went up from about 8-1 into half that now is La Brisa Breeze. He's sort of Dean Ivory's stable star, but he's got a draw in the car park in 14. And I'm sure Hayley will tell you that you really, generally speaking, want to be drawn low at Goodwood. Otherwise, you end up, if you're a hold-up horse, being miles behind and out of your ground if you take a pull, or racing 10 wide trying to get a pitch. And La Brisa Breeze from 14 has got a really hard task to come from where it's going to end up. The ground might be too soft for Home of the Brave. So by a sort of process of elimination, I've come round to Dream Castle, who's a three-year-old, getting weight all round. I think he had an excuse when he finished fifth in the Jersey at Royal Ascot. And before that, he's got form with Barney Roy and Churchill. And I think he's overpriced at about 12-1, probably from an each-way angle.
What price can we get on Dream Castle on Matchbook, Jesse?
So it looks like... Sorry. I had all the odds up everywhere except for, of course...
except for the race we're talking about.
Right. Help me. I got it. Goodwood, that we are. Lennox Stakes. Oh, wonderful. The market has been pulled down. Let's say 11-1.
Okay, we'll take 11-1. I wonder why that market has just been pulled, actually.
It's been suspended. Could it be declarations are due or something like that?
Oh, that was yesterday. They declared yesterday for these races.
There could be a high-profile non-runner or something. We will keep abreast of the situation as we record. Hayley, 15 runners. It's a bigger field than we normally get for this race, and it's a really exciting contest this year as well. If you had the choice of who to ride, who would it be?
I would go for Home of the Brave. I know you just said, I think he will like the ground. He's won on good to soft, and he's not been disgraced on soft ground before. And the reason I like him is that he's drawn one, and as I was saying about the draw, it's crucial, particularly over 7 furlongs, because you're literally, as soon as you jump out the stores, you're hitting a hill. So if you're drawn wide, you've got to inject pace early on up the hill, so by the time they get to a handy position, they've burnt themselves out. Or you can drop in behind, and then if Goodwood, hard luck stories are inevitable, you know. So it's the draw's important, and I've won quite a few races just from being drawn one, and he's like a front runner as well, so he's gonna, as long as he gets out, he's going to get to the front easily, probably get an easy lead down the hill, and just thought he was, I think he's, what, about 7-1? So he'd be the one I'd pick anyway.
All right, Home of the Brave, who was second in this race last year. Hayley bidding to go one better with him for Hugo Palmer and James Doyle. Neil Channing, are you going to go for something at a price?
Not really. I mean, it wouldn't be my highlight of the day. You know, each way wise, you're going to be offered a quarter first three generally. It's just as competitive as a handicap, although it's a Group 2 race. So I don't think my main advice would be if you were thinking about having an each way bet, don't. Just have like two win bets. That would be a much better idea. And yeah, I mean, I don't know about this idea. Where did you get that idea, Steve, that Home of the Brave wants faster ground? I thought it had, I mean, Hayley said it, but I mean, last time out, it was good to soft, it did all right. It's run okay on this kind of ground, hasn't it?
I thought, hasn't he pulled it out once or twice when it's been really soft?
He has.
I must have missed that. But I mean, I think you're right. The weather just makes it really difficult right now. They've got quite nice weather at Goodwood. I saw Shameless Seamus being interviewed, and he seemed absolutely delighted about all the rain they've had. Saved him the effort of having to put 10 millimetres on every night. But I don't know. I thought that it didn't rain yesterday, I don't think, and it's drying out today, and it's supposed to be really nice weather tomorrow. Maybe it's just going to be genuine good ground by the off. Maybe we don't need to worry about it too much. I would be against Limato, you know, possibly if that was a bit softer. If the ground was a bit softer, that would take me off Limato. But I think that horse is generally underpriced. It seems to be one that just, you know, if you backed it every time, you'd be doing your nuts. La Brisa Breeze, I couldn't back with the wide draw. So, yeah, I'm sort of coming around to probably home of the brave, really. You know, Hugo Palmer's also running really well at the moment.
Yeah, they've turned the corner big time. So a second endorsement for Home of the Brave, Haley and Neil both going for him. I will throw in the Son of Warfront, Spirit of Valor, into the mix as well. The feature race on day one of Goodwood this year is the Goodwood Cup Stakes. And Big Orange, who won the Ascot Gold Cup last time out, downing the defending champion Order of St. George, is going to be a short price favourite for Frankie Dettori, who's back on after missing Royal Ascot through injury. An emotional win from Michael Bell last time out, and he's bidding for his third win in a row in this race. Jesse, presumably a short price favourite on Matchbook.
Yes, worse than even money, around about 1.9 right now.
So a short price here, Haley, Big Orange. He is the people's horse, as you guys have said on ITV several times. And that win in the Ascot Gold Cup was really sensational. Can he make it three in a row in the Goodwood Cup this week?
Yes, I think he can. He's in cracking form. I ride out a lot for Michael Bell, and they're completely happy with him. How his preparation's gone for the race. We know he loves Goodwood. He's lost in the race twice already. As I said earlier, I think the ground, you know, the drier the better for him. But the fact that he's running on it on the first day, you know, it's drying out. If you were having any heavy showers beforehand, then you'd be a little bit worried. He handles the ground. It's just, it takes an advantage of the other horses. Like he can quicken away on fast ground, and it just takes the advantage off him a little bit. But no, I'm a big Orange fan.
He is a tough horse, Big Orange, Haley, but he's had a very busy campaign as well, and he's been globetrotting. And that was a tough race last time out against Order of St. George. Could that possibly soften him up and leave him vulnerable here, or does he have the constitution that should get him through?
They do such a good job within Michael Bell and the team. They really have, you know, they know the horse so well. He's 6 years old. They've had, you know, the Gredleys also, who own them, have a big input. And if you look at him in the paddock, he's such a beast of a horse. He's just massive, you know, and not particularly good looking. But he is. And we were saying about Goodwood having lots of hard luck stories. We know that he's going to be up at the front end. You know, he'll be taking it up halfway, so he's very unlikely to get stuck in a pocket.
Okay, so Big Orange is a confident selection for Haley. Neil, when you look at a market like this, you've got a short price favourite. I suspect you're going to want to be doing an each-way bet here.
Well, definitely, that was my first thought. Although I do note that all of those nasty bookie chappies are going a fifth versus three here, whereas sometimes in these big festivals they put out a bit of a carrot and they try and suck you in by going a quarter first three.
Those pesky, you know, swines.
Exactly. The problem with this one slightly is that you know, we got a reasonable field, 14 runners. A couple of non-runners came out with injuries, Dale Harold and Simple Verse. You know, you can't really, there's maybe one or two that you could rule out as being slightly outclassed here. But the problem is that there isn't like a sort of definite second favourite. There's a whole bunch of horses that all have some kind of chance of winning. So the first question I was thinking was, from an exchange point of view, do I want to back Big Orange or do I want to lay Big Orange? And in order to make that decision, I think if you are inclined to be a layer, definitely I agree with what Haley said about the ground. I think Big Orange is a lot better on faster ground. So if it hasn't dried out so much, and if for some reason it does rain overnight or whatever, that would put me off Big Orange a little bit. I'd be more inclined to lay, but I'm sure that'll be factored into the market. If I was going to lay, I would have to think of the sort of more fancied ones, US against it, US Army Ranger, Stradivarius, Shakeside Road, Wicklow, Brave and Higher Power. I'd have to think I fancy at least three of them to run a big race. And I don't know whether I do really. I don't really like US Army Ranger that much, a horse that I backed for the Derby somehow.
Oh,
the next time
so
he ran was in the Queen Alexandra Stakes. How bizarre is that? And Wicklow Brave, Yeah, I don't know. I can't really see that. I mean, it's knocking on a bit. But then, having said that, I'm going to probably back one that is knocking on a bit. I think I'm going to back Sheikh Zayed Road. This horse is definitely getting older, and it may be losing a bit of its speed. And it didn't run brilliantly in the Gold Cup. But although it's got form on fast ground, I actually think as it gets older, it wouldn't mind a little bit of softer ground. Just not necessarily soft ground, but just to perhaps blunt the speed of some of its opponents. I mean, it's always been admirable and consistent. It ran two races in Dubai this year where it probably... the first one was over a slightly inadequate trip, and the second one, it was probably just slightly outclassed. I think it's pretty solid, and I think from an each-way point of view, it wouldn't surprise me at all if it came second or third, and it can win. The other one that's really interesting is Higher Power, which ran second to Big Orange in Big Orange's race at Sandown, and then went on to win the Pitman's Derby last time. I mean, that is a horse that's really obviously improving. To win a handicap and then come and run in a Group One maybe seem to be a bit of an up in class. But I think, in these staying races, it's not the same as doing that in a sprint handicap. So I could sort of see that improving. And, obviously that's a different kind of profile to Sheikh Zayed Road. Mm. So I don't know whether that's such an each way bet, because... there is just a chance that it doesn't, this is a bit of a class above and it doesn't really warrant the raise. But so I think the each way one for me has to be Sheikh Zayed Road. But if I was just playing win only against Big Orange, I think I might back Higher Power.
Hayley, you're connected to the James Franchot Yard. What can you tell us about Higher Power?
Yeah, again, he's in good form. And his win, the Northumberland Plate, he was like, in the last 10 years, no horse has actually won that race carrying that much weight. And I just think it was a huge performance. And he likes it at Goodwood. He ran a big race around there over a mile and a half, obviously stepping up in kick. But I think he's the crack in each way back.
And what kind of price can we get on Higher Power and Sheikh Zayed Road, Jesse?
Looking like a tasty 16-1 from where I'm sitting.
Nice, that sounds good. All right, no pressure, Stephen Harris. You've heard from Hayley and from Neil. Which way are you leaning in the feature race on day one, the Qatar Goodwood Cup?
Yeah, I mean, not for the first time. I completely agree with Neil. I think the favourite, obviously, we all know everything about him. He's a tough front runner. He's going to keep battling. He's just not the sort of horse you want to be taking even money about. You know he's going to be under pressure two or three furlongs out. It's going to look like he's beaten three or four times, whether or not he falls in the end or not. It's just these sort of horses in these competitive stakes, if you watch lots of staying races, taking short prices about these horses is not advisable. Nothing happens very quickly. You know, you only need something to take it on and try and spoil it on the lead or get the rail in front of it, and it becomes a very complicated race. Sheikh Zayed Road is a horse I really like. He's always dropped out, which will probably be suit because this will be a well-run race. He's got cracking course form. If you watch the video of him running last year behind Big Orange, he got beaten about a length and a half. He was travelling up smoothly and made up a lot of ground. I mean, Big Orange beat him on merit, but we're talking about one length here. Mm. One of them's 10 to 11 and the other's 16 to 1. Now, these races can work out differently. Sheikh Zayed Road, I don't think, stayed 2.4 at Royal Ascot, and it was also very quick ground, and it was dropped out 20 lengths behind and never got in the race. You can forget that run. Previously, it had run two blinders in Maidan. Last season, it was really aggressive. I think 16-1 is miles over the odds, and I think it's a really strong each-way bet.
All right, so another endorsement for Sheikh Zayed Road in the feature race on day one. Let's move to day two, and this is, I think the race of the week is actually going to be the Nassau Stakes, which we'll talk about in a few minutes' time. But the duel on the downs this week, as ITV will call it, is the Qatar Sussex Stakes, as Royal Ascot winner Ribchester faces a horse who bombed at Royal Ascot, Churchill, but had been very impressive prior to that, particularly winning two classics in the Irish and English 2000 guineas. The betting on Matchbook's going to be close here, Jesse. Ribchester favourite?
Oh, boy.
Yes, he is. Yes, Ribchester is the favourite. He is currently about 2.2 on Matchbook.
and Churchill 2.75. So you're looking at 6-5 and 7-4, respectively.
So Churchill's got quite a bit to prove after last time out, Stephen. And I think it's a performance you can forgive. I know that you and Neil were very confident about Barney Roy, and you boys filled up the wheelbarrow on Matchbook and got all the loot that day. Will you stick with the boys in blue at Ripchester this time, or try and go with the three-year-old who's getting the weight allowance?
I really fancy Churchill Emmett, to be honest. I think he'll get a different ride here. Ascot is a bit of a dog track for me, and he was never in a position to win. He's not a horse with a turn of foot. He's a stayer. And Moore dropped him out, and he had four lengths to make up on stayers, and he stayed on at the same pace. Mm. I think when he'd been winning previously, he'd been ridden positively and ground it out. And what will happen in this race is that Lancaster Bomber will lead at a proper gallop, and Moore will sit second on Churchill, and I think he'll kick about two or three out, and Ribchester won't get past him. I think 7-4 is a very, very fair price. It does look a straight match, and I think Churchill will fend off Ribchester up the straight.
So the charity betting bank is going to be back a little bit later on in the year, and we know that Jesse has changed the betting system anyway. But on a scale of 1-5, how confident are you about Churchill? Because you sound very confident.
Yeah, I think he'd probably be a sort of 4-point bet. It looks like a coin toss, and one of them's 10-11, and the other one's 7-4. And I know Simon Rowland, who's very, very good on times and all the rest of it, he makes Churchill a better horse than Ribchester on sectional times. And I think Moore will, he will definitely sit in front of Ribchester's got to be something really special to quicken past Churchill when that one's going forwards off a strong pace. And I think that Coolmore will have thought this race through, and that it will be mapped out. It'll be a very strongly run test of stamina at a mile. The ground's come right for Churchill. I think it's got everything going for it. It's had 6 weeks off to freshen up from Ascot, and you're getting 7-4 because people who thought Churchill was something that he isn't were disappointed at Royal Ascot. Mm.
Stephen, Ribchester looks like the public horse here. Is there a chance that Churchill could touch 2-1?
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't think so, but it's all you can make yourself look daft with these Coolmore horses. It does depend on whether the right people back it or not. But 2-1 would be a fantastic price, I think, personally.
The boys are going to get stuck in here, aren't they? Because they like the perception of a well-backed Group 1 winner.
Definitely, yeah. I mean, Ben Keith at Star Sports laid some massive, massive bets on Churchill to all the right people, and they left it. And I would imagine at 7-4, they're all going to be coming out again to get their money back, aren't they?
All right. Tactically, Hayley, this is going to be a fascinating affair, as Stephen's alluded to. You've got a pacemaker from Coolmore for Lancaster Bomber for Churchill. You've got Toscanini, who was sent over from McAlford's Yard to Richard Fahey to make the pace for Ribchester. This is really between these two. Who are you going to side with?
I'm in agreement with Churchill. I think that Ribchester, I know he's improving. He's only ever ran on galloping tracks, and I'm kind of being very picky here, but Goodwood is a completely different track to the galloping tracks he's been on before. I think Churchill's drawn 8, so Ryan is going to jump, and he's only got one horse on his outside, so he's got options. He'll jump positive to go forward, I think. And I would imagine they'll get a breather into them going round the bend at the top of the hill. And, you know, you've got to remember, if you can put a... I agree with them about the Ascot run as well, and I just think it's going to be a different story. And at the end of the day, Churchill is already a 4-time Group 1 winner. You know, he's a good horse who we need to forgive, I think, for his last run.
Okay, for what it's worth, I'm firmly in Churchill's camp as well. Neil, you've heard the thoughts of Hayley and of Stephen. It is essentially a match bet here. I know that you like the bigger prices, but which way are you leaning?
Yeah, I like the bigger prices. I mean, you've got 9 runners, at least 3 of them have got no chance whatsoever. Mate, you could probably say 4 or 5 of them, maybe. So I'm gonna have a bit of a go each way. I'm gonna bet this Lightning Spear each way. Now I know, it's got absolutely thrashed by Ribchester at Royal Ascot. I think Lightning Spear was about 5-1 to win that race, and Ribchester was a short price favourite. Lightning Spear basically ran no kind of race. And then it didn't really run very well last time either. But You know, if you can dismiss a run, which I'm never afraid to do, you know, it has got reasonably close up form with Ribchester. And, you know, for it to be 5-1 when Ribchester was about 11 or 10 at Ascot, shows what was expected of it. And I don't know, just, you know, I'm playing, obviously I'm not thinking I'm going to win this race a lot of the time when I back Lightning Spear each way. I'm thinking about getting third place with just a chance that I might win. And I think there's quite a lot of other horses in this race that I just can't really have. I think this will be held up and it will come late. And I like it to come third. I'm going to make a profit if it comes third. You know, it's there is just a chance. It was the other one that that has a chance of winning is obviously Zelzow, which was a really good 2-year old last year for Jean-Claude Rouget, and it's been a little bit disappointing this year. Obviously, it's owned by the festival sponsors, so they'll be very keen. Al Shikad, they'll be very keen to have a winner and to have a runner. And maybe that's why it is running here, really. I mean, it's got beat in a Group 3 race last time. I mean, on its 3-year-old form so far, it's not really good enough to win this race. 4-year-old form. I mean, I think Lightning Spear, if you can forgive it a couple of runs, at its best form, I just think, you know, it's solid, and I can just see it coming third a lot of the time and having some kind of chance of winning.
Okay, Lightning Spear, he's been a cliff horse for many, but as you say, if he just
he's
makes...
a cliff horse for me, actually, to be honest with you, but I'm going to go one more time.
If he makes the frame, you've made a profit, but Stephen Haley and I are firmly in the Churchill camp. Stephen, just before we leave Wednesday, a quick word on Happy Like a Fool, who's going to line up in the Malcolm Stakes for the American trainer Wesley Ward, who always launches a huge invasion on Royal Ascot and had a successful raid again this year with Lady Aurelia. But the market move for Happy Like a Fool, like the vibes on track at Ascot were, this horse could not get beaten. It got beaten by Heartache, who has subsequently been beaten in France. The fact that they're coming back for more, Ryan Moore's on again, Coolmore bought a slice of the pie with this horse. Do you think that it can... she can get redemption this week?
Well, you wouldn't be racing to oppose it. I know that Heartache got beat in France, but there was an excuse. And Clive Cox, I get the Clive Cox horses for what it's worth, and they're very good. This is supposed to be their best 2-year-old they've ever had, Heartache. Wow. And when it got beaten in France, they're absolutely mortified. But there was a valid excuse for that performance. He only got beaten a length or so in a blanket finish, but it was miles below form. I mean, Happy Like a Fool. Again, the only thing is, Emmett, what's it going to be like if the forecast is diabolical on
Wednesday? That's the worry.
These American horses sink, don't they? They're all speed and blazing the trail, and you just don't want them sort of having to dig it out under pressure in the final furlong at Goodwood on rain-softened ground. And it is only 7-4. I mean, on form, it looks a complete standout contender, but I think... I'd say to matchbook followers just to wait and see what the weather was like and what the ground was like on the day.
6-4 into, I think it was 6-4 the night before, into 10-11. I mean, that takes some doing at Royal Ascot.
Yeah, I mean, there was fortunes for it. They're extremely unlucky that they bumped into an unexposed one that improved past it. It's drawn in stall 3. I guess it'll get the rail. It's going to be front running and there to be shot at. But if the ground was testing, which, you know, it could be by... what times the race is at 3:00 on Wednesday. You know, the forecast, as I say, all day Wednesday is diabolical, so it could completely change. So no rush there. I don't think there's any rush for punters at all.
All right, she's going to be a fascinating runner on Wednesday, and just one worth talking about, particularly from an exchange perspective. All right, the feature race in my eyes of the entire week is the Qatar Nassau Stakes, the feature race on Thursday, the fillies on show. Jesse, let's get the betting here. We've got Winter, who is unbeaten in her last 3 starts, all in Group 1 company, starting off with the English 1,000 guineas, then the 1,000 guineas at the Curra, and a brilliant performance in the Coronation Stakes last time out, taking on Shutter Speed, her stable companion Hydrangea, Somidar, Queen's Hello? Trust. This is a fantastic, fantastic race. Give us the betting on Matchbook.
Winter is coming, although not that fast. 6-4. Is that a big price for a horse with these kind of accolades already, I wonder?
I think it is. In my mind, it is anyway, particularly considering the fact that the horse she's beaten last twice, Roly Poly, has now added two Group 1s. Hayley, you were on duty on ITV the first time Roly Poly won her Group 1 this season in the Falmouth Stakes. She's doubled up at France last time out, which kind of just indicates how good her stable companion Winter is. But she's up in trip here. Can she live up to the task and the hype? Because there's going to be a huge amount of hype behind this horse on Thursday.
Yeah, I think she can. She's just transformed this year into an absolute superstar and never really looking to struggle. And it just seems to be getting easier and easier for her. And she's a strong traveller. I think she'll like the track, and we don't know where she's drawn yet, but there's not going to be a massive field. I can't see it being an issue over a mile and a quarter either. It's not as big a deal. I thought maybe the one I quite like was Nezwar of Roger Varian's, who's 2 out of 2 this year, and it's just really improving. You know, I think that she's going to have a bit more up her sleeve, but I think anything will do well to get near to Winter again.
Winter is a Galileo, which obviously is a big class and stamina influence, but she's out of a sprinter, Laddie's Poker 2, who won at Royal Ascot for Jeremy Nasida and Coolmore a few years ago. Is there any concern in your mind that the distance, the trip might be a little bit too much for her, or do you think that the fact that Aidan O'Brien is upping her in trip means that they've got confidence she can get it?
Well, you know, if you've got the jockey who's, you know, Ryan, who's been riding her, and Aidan O'Brien, if they think she's going to stay, they've got a better idea about it than I have. You know, it's she's looking at her races, she's done nothing but finish her race as well, and you can see why they think that a mile and a quarter is going to be ideal.
It's kind of a little bit similar to the Minding and Alice Springs situation last season, in that Alice Springs started to go for mile races as Minding went up, and turned out Alice Springs was quite good and won a couple of Group 1s along the way. Roly Poly's done the same thing. So the fact that they've been able to split these horses gives you an indication of how strong Winter's form is as well.
Yeah, exactly. And it's that time of year, you know, the horses are, they're, you know, they've got the sun on their backs now, and they're maturing, and the best is coming out in them now this time of year, and it's quite exciting to see. But he's got a few good ones up his sleeve, hasn't he? I'm sure.
Yeah, to say the least. Stephen, I think this is one of the star performers of the week. I can't wait to see her in action. But that being said, Wahida ran a fine race behind Roly Poly last time out. Shutterspeed disappointed in France, but was very promising before that. Somi Dar, Queen's Trust, this is a really high-class race.
Yeah, it's a brilliant race. I mean, as you say, it's one of the races of the week. My negative with Winter is, again, ground-related. It doesn't mind soft ground at all, but you're into uncharted territory here, 2 furlongs further in what's likely to be a really red-hot, top-class race. I couldn't take 6-4 with a stamina doubt. I mean, it hasn't looked like it's stopping over a mile. It'll almost certainly stay, but, you know, it'll have to if the ground's testing, as looks likely. Again, Wednesday all-day rain, Thursday all-day rain is the forecast at the minute. So I couldn't rush to take 6-4. I thought Shutterspeed was the really interesting one. I mean, she looked absolutely top class when she won the Musidora on soft ground over this trip. They then sent her over to France. She was a very well, strongly fancied favourite. Apparently had a bad journey over. And if you watch the video of the race, it looked like Dettori did far too much too soon. She was in front a long way out, up with a fast pace, and they came from miles back and swamped her inside the final furlong. It didn't look like her running. She's been freshened up since. Gosden's obviously got Enable. He's fantastic with fillies. She's a 5-1 chance. She's proven on the ground. She's proven over the trip. And again, it's one for Neil Channing's each way army of followers. She looks a crack each way bet at 5-1.
All right, Shutterspeed, to confirm the previous promise that she showed in the Musidora. Neil, when you've got a short price favourite and a number of very exciting contenders in behind, I suspect you will be taking this favourite on.
Yeah, and actually, although Stephen said about my army, I might leave them in the barracks for this one, because the problem is, from an each-way point of view, there's too many that you could... I could make a case for Nezwa, I could make a case for Queen's Trust, I could make a case for Shutterspeed. The one I really like is Wahida. A horse that won the Prix de Marcel Boussac last year. Mm. And then I think that was the race. Hopefully I haven't said that wrong. And then got injured and come back and ran a really good race. I think you mentioned behind Roly Poly, in the Falmer Stakes at Newmarket. It was been a length and a quarter, you know, coming from a long layoff like that. Obviously Roly Poly's franked the form. Pretty impressive at Deauville on Sunday. And, I just think this is... I was quite surprised when I saw the prices that this was a double-figure price. I guess I would... The shape of the race is slightly towards each way because there's a shortest price favourite. But every single firm is going a fifth, first three, which doesn't tempt me quite as much as a quarter would. So I think... Right now, if you just forced me to do something straight away, I'd have to lay Winter. I mean, what can we lay, Jesse? Can we lay 7 or 4? 2.74, 2.76, something like that? I mean, this horse has to go off 2 to 1, surely.
Yeah, I mean, the market's not that tight right at the minute, but when it gets there, you definitely will be, I think, 2.75, you can lay it.
Mm-hmm. I just think it's you know, I could make a real good case for Queen's Trust.
Would you rather lay the place, Neil, in this case, or would you rather lay the win?
Well, there's an argument for saying lay the place. I mean, this will be one of these ones where the place, you know, like normally like a 7 or 4 chance in this kind of race, the place would be about 1 to 3, something like that, 4 to 11. I bet with Winter, the place market will end up settling around 1.44 or something like that because... obviously, you know, Stephen's alluded to the weather, and this could turn into a bit of a test of stamina for Winter, who's up in trip. You know, the race, it may be a bit of a slog out there by that time of the week, Thursday afternoon. So, possibly. I mean, if you could lay it at a place price that sort of relates to 7 to 4 as a win price, you know, something like 1.33, that might be the way to play it, actually.
Just about that ground, I just have a question real quickly, because the way you guys are talking about it, rain all day Wednesday, rain all day Thursday. I mean, in America, they go from good to muddy, and then they have something called slop, which is, just a rainstorm all the time. Mm. Do they have, like, a swamp rating that's beyond soft?
They should.
It's called abandoned.
But I mean, when it gets like that, it must just be anything goes, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, you'd imagine by the time it's rained all day Wednesday and Seamus has decided to just put 3 or 4 inches on just to, you know, maintain, then it'll the be plane. Heavy by Thursday.
that line from Haley is brilliant. Yeah, we call it in the UK and Ireland, we call it abandoned. The Americans, race on, race on.
We never stop.
I would love to see Winter win this race. I hope she does, but it's such a deep race, particularly with Breeders' Cup winner Queen's Trust in there. Wahida, very exciting last time out. Charlie Appleby was making the right noises about her as well. It's going to be a fascinating race. We will talk about Friday and Saturday on the Matchbook Betting Podcast on Thursday evening. Roy Delargy will join us for that show as well. Stephen, before we wrap up, anything else on your notebook for the week at Goodwood?
Just one funny one, Emmett, which is, it won't take us long. It's on in the 150 on Tuesday. And again, it's a bit ground dependent. We're guessing because it's the first race of the whole meeting. It's a horse called Master Carpenter, which is in the handicap at 150 on Tuesday. It's about a 25-1 chance on match. But it's one of those horses that it's got lots of duck eggs and the occasional impressive win. And when it has an impressive win, it's usually in a big field, well-run handicap, on soft ground, and most of its duck eggs are on good ground or faster. And it won about 3 starts back, and it absolutely sluiced up in soft ground. It's Rob Millman, who does quite well at Goodwood, and I thought that was overpriced on day one, 25-1.
Okay, and that's in the Matchbook Betting Exchange Handicap 150 on day one, which will be live on ITV as well. Hayley, anything else in your notebook for the week?
I've got one for that race as well.
Take him on.
I like Garcia in that. I thought he's only had one run this year when he stepped up to a mile and a quarter at York, and it was a really impressive run. Only got beat just over a length. And that day, he was held up out the back, and the first and second were track leaders, and York always suits horses that race up with the pace. And I just thought it was a really big run, which would have put him spot on for that race. So I have to throw that one in.
Okay, and Richard Fahey loves to land a big gamble as well. Ryan Moore in the saddle on Garcia. Neil, you're going to have a notebook full of horses. We know you're going to be doing plenty of content for the Betting Emporium during the week.
I'm not actually. I've got a bit of poker on this week, so I haven't got time to do any stuff for Betting Emporium. Sorry, guys. But yeah, I have got one other one tomorrow that I quite liked in the Vintage Stakes. I mean, it's such a good race, this race, and I did spend quite a lot of time on it. And I sort of came to the conclusion that I thought Sea Hinge was a reasonable lay, anything shorter than 5-2, really. Just because I think the race is so wide open, I could certainly see a case for Expert Eye of Michael Stout. And Mildenberger, which is a Mark Johnson horse, was probably, tuned to full fitness first time up and definitely looks like it could stay a mile. So the one I kind of latched onto was James Garfield, which is trained by George Scott. First time up, if you get a chance to watch the video of his first race, it was at Leicester. And this horse got basically completely left at the start. And when I say left at the start, I mean, it was like, it might as well have. It was like that Hamlet advert from years ago. Somehow it managed to run on and finish third, which was pretty incredible, really, when you watch it back. After that, it ran another race where it also finished third, which was a Royal Ascot. I backed it in that race, actually. It was 25-1 in the Windsor Castle, which, as you know, is just a 5-furlong race. Mm-hmm. And it probably, from the way it stayed on in that first race, it probably does need a bit further. And it came out and finally won a race at Doncaster over 6 furlongs. It was 1-3 and it absolutely hacked up. And it definitely looked like, in all its runs that it would stay further. So I think this 7 furlongs is no problem. I really like George Scott. He's had some good 2-year-olds this year. And it's about 12-1, I think. So I quite like it as an each-way bet, although it wouldn't be bad as a win-only either. So there you go. That's for me. James Garfield.
Neil Channing giving us the value on the Matchbook Betting Podcast. Jesse, you've heard the expert views from Haley, from Stephen, and from Neil. Of all the selections you've heard, which one are you most confident about?
That's a good question. I actually started getting quite excited about Churchill, and I think that might be a nice one. But beyond that, I'd come here expecting everybody says you never should lay the short priced favorites at Goodwood. And it sounds like if the conditions go that this is an opportunity to do it, which could be a nice little contrary point of view.
And of course, you can do that on the Matchbook Betting Exchange as well. And that's a good point. Haley, you're going to be on ITV on Friday and Saturday.
Yep. I am indeed, and then I'll be kicking about all week apart from that, having a jolly good time with the Matchbook crew, hopefully.
Lobster, champagne, living it up in the big Moët tent, hopefully.
Excellent, yeah, I'm looking forward to
it. Is it Moët or Bollinger for you, Hayley?
I'd take anything. I prefer cocktails, to be honest with you.
All right, drink of choice.
Myself in the deep end.
What's your favourite cocktail?
Cosmopolitan.
If Haley's tipped you a winner, you want to buy her a drink this week, Cosmopolitan's all day long. Stephen Harris, are you making the trip to Goodwood?
Yeah, I'm there tomorrow going with the whole football team on a big freebie. So I'd just like to shout out to Elio and Jack Bolas, who are very much looking forward to buying me some Moët tomorrow in the champagne tent.
Moët, man. It's called Moët. God almighty, you can't be in Goodwood and pronouncing it wrong. Deary me! Give me the champagne. Neil, are you going to make the trip to Goodwood?
No, I'm going to Manchester to play a poker tournament for Sky Poker, so I'm looking forward to that. If I have a cocktail, it'll be maybe a dash of blackcurrant in my lager.
Glamorous as always. And Jesse, surely you're going to be at Goodwood this week.
I will be there on Friday, and thankfully, because it's going to give me a chance to shop for hats this week, which I'm looking for a really good top hat to bring with me.
Jesse May, bring in the style to Goodwood. I'll be on TalkSport 2 on Thursday and Friday afternoons. We'll bring you live coverage of the racing. If you can't get to see it live, you can listen to it with us with Race Dubs Thursday and Friday on TalkSport 2. And we're back Thursday evening as we preview Friday and Saturday of the Goodwood meeting. Once again, Jesse, the special offers of Matchbook this week.
0% comms all day tomorrow, which is going to be fun for Goodwood. And of course, this £500 sign-up offer. So 0% commission for your first 5 weeks up to £500 as a new account at Goodwood. New account at Matchbook. That's on all sports, by the way. So it'll slip into the Premier League.
Fantastic. You can read Haley Turner's views on Matchbook for the rest of the week on insights.matchbook.com.
Yeah, we've got a lot of great, we've got a lot of great content up there lately. I mean, all Haley's write-ups. There's a great interview with Neil Channing up there, which is just general stuff. Also, a guy named Nick Goff has got a good interview up there, plus plenty of betting content.
Yeah, Roy DeLarge has been doing some content as well. Andy Newton, some great content on the Matchbook site to get you through the week at Goodwood. And we will be here with you as well on Thursday evening. Roy DeLarge and the team back with you to hopefully find some winners for us on Friday and Saturday.
I just don't let me forget. Also up there is the virtual reality. If you have the goggles, you can ride with Haley Turner on Goodwood, which is quite. I've gone through it. It's quite nice, even if you don't have the goggles,
which is pretty awesome to say the least. That's it from us. We're back on Thursday evening. Thanks to Haley Turner.
Cheers. Thanks for having me. I'll see you Thursday.
To Stephen Harris.
See you guys. Thanks a lot.
Neil Channing.
Best of luck, everyone. Have a great week.
And Jesse May.
Yeah, have a wonderful week, everybody. Happy punting.
If you like the show, a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts would be much appreciated. It helps to get the word out about the show on Apple Podcasts. We will see you on Thursday evening. Have a great Goodwood. We'll talk to you then. God bless.